everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll look at this.
Welcome to our Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Discussion meeting here. Today we're in Romans at chapter 13 again, and we're kind of in the middle of it. We got past the government part, and now we got to start talking about living life with love and respect one-on-one. It's really a wonderful part of this chapter 13. It looks to me like it starts right at verse 11 or so and ends up at verse 14, which is the end of chapter 13. So as soon as I get where I'm going here in this computer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was talking.
Romans 13.
What?
Romans 13.
Oh, we're still in Romans?
Romans chapter 13. And Clyde, how about starting us off in a word of prayer?
Precious Father, we take a moment, Lord, just to emphasize the fact that we've gathered in your name. And we know, Lord, that as your promise is, where two or more are gathered in your name, you're there in our midst. So we thank you for being in our midst. So we invite, Lord, not only you, but the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, set those that need to be free, free. And Lord, let all of us give you all praise and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 You said starting at 11.
I think we're going to go back a lot farther than that.
Yeah, I was going to say from 8.
Yeah, I messed up.
Yeah, about 8 is where
I think we were. I was
You were so anxious to get through the first 7.
I was wrong. Started 8. That's a wonderful verse.
Yeah.
And Brenda, would you read it out of the Amplified for us from 8 to the end of the chapter?
Keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, have an evil desire, and any other commandment are summed up in the single command that you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, to rouse to reality. For salvation, the final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Christ the Messiah. The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then drop, fling away the works and deeds of darkness, and put on the full armor of light. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make of no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lust.
That's great.
Praise the Lord.
Well, there's a few things in there just that I want to just throw out before we really get started talking. That thing where it says, that verse that says, clothe yourselves, well, it says here in this one, in the radiance of light as soldiers would wear their, in their full weaponry. And that reminded me, this little bracelet that I wear sometimes is all the weapons. It were from where it says put on the full armor of God. So sometime today I want somebody to read about the full armor of God. Somebody can find that in there. But here's what I, another thing that I saw in here from reading three or four different types or verses from different sources. It says, clothe yourselves, and I read that before, and because the night, it was night for long enough. This is verse 12. The day has arrived. And we should be living in the day. You know? Cease immediately with any action associated with the darkness of ignorance. Clothe yourself in the radiance of light as soldiers would wear their full weaponry. And then it goes on to say, Opto is the word for the night, is well, is far spent. As a smith forges a piece of metal until he has hammered into its maximum length, the verb that they're using there is, I'm going to say this to you, I know you'll all understand it completely. The aorist middle subjunctive. Right? I don't understand that, but it's a tense of a verb. From enduo, this is the neat part, enduo is to, where it's talking about put on the whole armor of God or to put on Christ, clothe yourself in the radiance of light. It means to sink into clothing, to clothe oneself. And you know, the thing about sinking into clothing kind of grabbed my attention a little bit because it doesn't sound very difficult. It's that clothing was prepared for us, and all we have to do is sink into it, sink into Christ. Just, oh, go ahead, sink right in. And it talks about that a little bit more. And fully immersed, that same word means fully immersed in the consciousness of the Christ life as defining you. I think that is really, really good. Anybody want to do any chatting yet?
Well, I can say something. You know, the scripture says that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you talk about light, you know, and all of those things that are said about light, well, how do you put on the light? Well, first of all, the first thing you have to do is you have to believe that you got it. You know, if you don't believe you got it, you can't put it on. You know what I mean? And, you know, he said that he was the light that lights every man that comes into the world, and that, you know, he tells us now that we're the light of the world, you know. And so really our part of that is believing that. You know, if we don't believe it, it's like the old saying, if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. You know, you gotta believe it to receive it. Because it's there, and if every man has that light, he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Now, if every man has that light, until they're aware that they have it, or until they come to the reality of Christ in them, you know, they can't really acknowledge that light, you know. And we have to acknowledge that light on a daily basis. And you know, he is the light of the world, but it's his light inside of us that makes us the light of the world. You know, now, and you know, it's we have to put it on, you know, just like we have to put on praise, you know, the garments of praise, you know. And there's always something that we have to do, which a lot of times, if we're not careful, when you talk about the grace message, you say, well, you don't have to do anything. Well, yeah, you do. You do. Actually, you do. You have to acknowledge, and then you have to believe. You know, when you acknowledge, you believe, you know. Because if you don't believe, it's not going to happen, you know. And, you know, even when Jesus did many miracles in different places where he went, and he said, and there was many things that weren't done because of their unbelief, see. So those things all work together. I mean, they all have to get in line with each other. The, you know, we have to first believe that we have it. It's like the mind of Christ. We have to believe that we have the mind of Christ. We have to thank God that we have the mind of Christ. Then we have to go within sometimes and say, Lord, what would you have me do in situations, you know, and that's acknowledging him. And you'll find a lot of times you'll do something entirely different than what you your first inclination was to do, you know. But I think there's a little bit of something we have to do to bring that light forth. Because when he's saying put it on, putting something on, it's an action verb. You're doing something to make it appear, you know. And what you're the first thing that you're doing is believing that you have it. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that you're doing is not only believing that you have it, but, you know, going within and letting that light shine, because it's an inner light that breaks to the outside. Just like when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the apostles, and he was transfigured before them. And they said, and that inner light in him broke forth to the outside. And they said his garments was just radiant, white, glowing, you know. And we all have to realize that that's the glory that's inside of us too. But, you know, it's going to be revealed to the fullness eventually. It's not right now, you know, but it's going to be, you know. But we have to do our part of what we have to do to put it on, and that's by, first of all, acknowledging that we have it and believing that we have it. And, you know, I was thinking about that little song that we all learned to sing in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know. I mean, some of them little nursery rhyme songs that we sang were such tremendous truth. If and to be honest with you, we don't really hardly sing them anymore because we're adults now. You know, we don't sing them little kiddie songs. But you know what? Those kiddie songs don't go away. You know, and we have to be willing to let that light shine. You know, and what part of how you do that is by men seeing your good works, and what do? They glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know. Anyway, that's my little mini sermon for today. But, you know.
You know, you were talking about he couldn't do much because of their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a minister, I couldn't begin to tell you who it was, and he was saying, yeah, that when he'd come to the meeting to that it was so, he said it was like the people actually pulled the very word out of me because of their hunger and their thirst and their openness and so wanting to see God and to hear from God.
Right.
That he said that even in the midst of what he was sharing, God began to bring even more. He said, I'm about to sit down and listen to this message myself, mm-hmm, because God even started opening up more, mm-hmm, because of the hunger, which is really the belief,
right,
of the people wanting to receive from God and to hear from him.
You know, the great thing about today is that when you hear a message, you know, especially like even out in church, when you hear a message out there and it ministers to you some, years and years ago, that was it. You know, now naturally it went down inside of you and stuff. But nowadays, you can go back on the web page, or you can get a CD, and you can listen to that over and over again, and let that word really sink down inside of you. You know, and boy, what a tremendous difference that is than what it used to be, you know, because before it would go inside, His Word never returns void. But a lot of times it took something happening to begin to bring it back up. But I think once we're at a big advantage today, and you know, I was just thinking about this and it just crossed my mind, and my mother one time, she was out at an Oral Roberts thing here in Cincinnati. Brother Eddie was helping sponsor that years and years ago. And I mean, I wasn't there or anything, so I don't know, other than what she told me. And apparently, I guess, I don't know if she went forward or somehow she got prayed for, you know. And Brother Eddie was the one that prayed for her. And I guess she must have said to him, well, I don't feel that much different or something like that. And I can remember what he said to her. He actually kind of chewed her out. he actually said to her, he said, well, what do you want? What do you expect from God? He basically told her, he said, don't you realize He saved you? And, you know, and he went down a litany of things. And she said, and I realized, you know, yeah, really, I do feel different, you know, and all that. So, I mean, you know, even with that, sometimes he was exposing the light that was in her by even getting on her a little bit, because she said he actually fussed at her a little bit and told her, now what do you expect, what do you want? You know, in other words, you've received salvation, you know you're saved, you know, you got it, basically, is what he was telling her, you know. And she said, and I started thinking about that. I thought, yeah, you're right. I do, you know. And here I'm kind of, you know, grumbling a little bit or whatever, you know. And, you know, but so many times we don't realize that word never returns void. And when God places that word in your heart, it's in there. But we have a distinct advantage today, because we can go back and listen. And we can even go online and stuff and listen to messages that were spoken years and years ago by other people, you know. And we have access to just being immersed in God's Word, you know, even more so than what people in Pine had, you know. But
there's a book that I've been reading. I've had it for a long time. Of course, Charles Stanley's the one that wrote it, but I'm pretty sure that he wasn't the one that inspired it. And it says, I'm going to live today by what is true, not by what I feel.
Oh, yes.
When you do that, you're taking your emotions and putting them right where they belong, not what I feel.
Oh, yeah.
So many people do go by what they feel. Debbie used to tell me, and it shows all over your face, Clyde. She said, people can read you like a book. I said, ooh, I need a short story. Well, anyway, I was thinking, because you were talking about hunger, I was thinking, I remember when the Minifields came to church in Elmwood. They went right to the front row and sat right in the front row. And as Brother Eddie was bringing the word, the Holy Spirit was bringing them, because I seen them start to do this. They loved it so much. They were just like sponges with water in front of them. They got to soak it up. That's really being in love with the Word of God.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that we're living in a day that the people have chosen other than the Word of God. They haven't chosen wisely. And yeah, I'm going a lot of commercials here, movies. But the fact is that when we first started this chapter, we were talking about basically doing what we were told to do and everything. I told Debbie, and I think the most first thing you have to do, you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, we won't accept truth. We won't even acknowledge truth unless we accept ourselves in that area. I speed quite a bit. So I have no problem with the officer pulling me over. I don't throw a fit. I don't get mad. He's got a job to do, and I'm guilty. Not proud I'm guilty, but I'm guilty. What do I expect? I'm guilty. We should expect, I mean, you know, I was going through Atlanta one time, had Pat in the car and Debbie in the car. They were both sleeping. I was right in the middle of the city on 75, and I looked up my rearview mirror, and I said, he read my lips, he being the state trooper, read my lips, laughed so hard, he just waved me on. So I kept going. And I could see him at a breakfast or something that day saying to the other officers, you're not going to believe what I seen. They said, what'd you see? He said, I was behind a guy doing 85 miles an hour. He seen me in his rearview mirror, and he said, I actually believe he crapped his pants. Now, could you see him telling that story?
Yes.
Well, anyway, so I guess what I'm saying is, when you're guilty, take it. Now, Jesus, when he went to Calvary, went to everyone that was guilty. Now, I'm not talking about any of the people that are innocent in this room, but he went for the guilty. And when I accepted him, I was accepting the fact that I was guilty. That might have been why I hungered and thirsted so much. I was accepting the fact that, yeah, he died for me. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So, you know, in one sense, whoever's in government, if it doesn't make us feel comfortable, God's still in charge. I mean, I believe in authority and the order. And I believe with God, all things are done in order.
Yeah.
So we need to get our lives in order. Let's get them in order.
I'm laughing because I was sharing funny.
He's over there smiling. Like, oh, I wish you'd tell that.
When I lived in California, that's what I learned to drive. I was telling the ones at
one lane
gathering that we were at. They're talking about drives. I can drive anywhere because I learned to drive in California. I just got my license when we moved out there. So I was going down Century Boulevard, turn on Belmont. I can just remember, just as clear. I never paid the ticket. But I said, a lot of times you can't turn left on certain times of the day.
Right.
And so I was trying to read the sign, all this traffic, and I looked at the car in front of me. And the car in front of them, and they had California license plates. So I said, well, they probably know the sign then. So when this car turned and the other one, I turned behind him and I looked up, here was the lights on. And he come up there to the car, I asked for my license, and I said, well, you ought to give me a break, I'm thinking, because I'm from out of state. Because he asked me, when he looked at my license, how long I'd been there, and I forget how long then, months or something, Cody. And I said, well, the cars in front of me turned left, and you didn't give them no ticket. And he said, because I got you.
I was waiting for you.
I got you, so regardless. And I said, yeah, think about your with the guy. I never did pay that ticket. Because when I moved back to Ohio, I'm so bad. I probably got it somewhere because I keep everything.
Sent it in the mail, huh?
Jewelry box. I never paid that. That was back in the 60s.
If you ever go to California and get stopped again, you're going to jail.
I remember you.
Yeah.
Margaret, you talking about tickets. Margaret got stopped. She's never gotten a ticket in all the years. Margaret's a good driver, but she's never gotten a ticket, never, in all of her years since you've been driving. Well, she came out, I can't remember where she was, but she stopped. She said she sort of stopped at a stop sign, you know, and the cops come in the other direction.
Can't call them the
He's coming the other direction. And she said, I could see both ways and there wasn't none coming, so I just went ahead and turned down. Well, he turned around, spun around and got her said, you didn't stop at the stop sign. She says, well, I slowed down and I was, you know, and he said, you didn't stop. And she says, well, something's, and he went and checked her, you know, I had to go back to the car and check. And he came back and he says, you haven't never had a ticket in all these years. They know. I mean, they'll know you had a ticket if you were going to California, because they put that in their computer. But anyway, he told her, he says, you've never had a ticket before, have you? And she says, no. And she said, oh. And she said, he says, well, I don't know if she said something about her husband, you know, like I'd have said something to her, and I wouldn't have said anything. She got a ticket. She didn't say it. But anyway, she says, he told her, he says, well, you know what? I'm going to just give you a warning ticket. He said, because you've never had a ticket all this time. He said, it won't go against you, and it won't show up on your insurance. It's just a warning. And she said, well, thanks. She she was going to get her first ticket, buddy.
Those tickets in California are expensive, believe me.
Yeah, I bet.
I got stopped a couple times. The last time I got stopped, I went to driving school. But it didn't drop it down that much, believe me.
And I will tell you something else. They're harder on people out of state. They'll get you quicker if you're out of state than they will if you're in state.
Yes.
If you do something, because they know they got you. You know what I mean? And you have to. That's like one time I was down in Florida and I missed going through one of those toll booths, you know. And
on purpose?
No. I thought it was farther up or something.
Oh.
And I went and drove past it. And this was years ago.
When they got it.
And they sent me a thing in the mail, and told me I owed them so much money because I missed a toll booth. But I didn't do it on purpose, you know. I actually did it by accident.
Ignorance,
you know,
is no excuse.
No, I know.
This is what this
can you miss a toll booth?
Well, it wasn't.
You gotta go through it.
It wasn't one of them ones back then. It wasn't one of them ones where it locked off the thing. There was lanes over here.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one of the first or second times I was down in Florida, and I'm not used to that kind of stuff. And I only missed one. You know, I was going through all the toll booths, but this particular one, it was over off the side, and I didn't see the sign, you know. I don't know if we were talking or whatever. I don't know what we were doing. We were talking or something, and I drove past it, and Marcus said, I think you might have missed that toll booth. And I said, I didn't see it. You know, I wasn't paying attention. Well, I missed it. They sent me a thing in the mail. I owed them $5 or what, $3 or whatever it was to go through the toll booth. I don't remember what it was, but I sent them the money, you know, and you know.
Just like with Brenda here saying that, you know, like she thought she'd get away with, you know, being out of town.
I didn't think I was trying to get away with it.
I was in the morning around about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was getting ready to get on 101, and the traffic was going pretty fast, so I sped up coming off the ramp.
Yeah.
And I was catching up with the traffic. You know that saying, you know, you got to keep up with the traffic?
Yeah.
Don't believe that. This guy come up from nowhere and put his lights on, and I said, I pulled over, and he said, you know, you're going kind of fast. I said, well, I'm keeping up with traffic. He said the speed limit is 55 at that time, 55 miles an hour. I said, okay. I built my hands like that. I couldn't do nothing. Hey. It is what it is. So I paid that little $200-some-dollar fine.
Don't believe this.
Don't believe what they say.
Ignorance is bliss. It's
the trap. Don't believe that stuff.
So you guys were having all of the repercussions of the police living under the law. I was going to say something about that.
You never want to drive fast through my neighborhood. Because they'll actually have signs that says targeted.
Yes.
You know,
and they mean it.
And yeah, they do. I got a ticket going down through there after coming back from Stan's brother's funeral, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that neighborhood, you know, I mean, I live there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going down through there and I was just coasting. I didn't even have my foot on the gas.
I mean,
I was just actually coasting, you know. And I guess I got to going 32 miles an hour, and the speed limit's 25.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy stopped me. And I pulled over and I said, how fast was I going? He said, you were going 30 something miles an hour. And I said, well, you know, I probably was. I said, I didn't look at my speedometer. I said, we were talking because we'd just come back from a funeral and stuff. And he said, well, he says, I've already put it in and started to write the ticket. So I, he said, I, He started apologizing for having to give me a ticket because I thought he was just coming from a funeral. And I said, well, I said, you know.
Whatever,
but I mean, didn't Debbie get stopped down there one time?
My wife.
On my street?
Could talk the tree.
Yeah.
Out of shedding bark. Yeah. I'll tell you what, she had the boys in the car.
Yeah.
It was summer. She had the windows down. And she was listening to rock and roll. And he came up on her. And she says, well, you know, she said, it's a lovely day out. I had the windows down. Me and the kids were listening to rock and roll. And this no lie, policeman goes, well, he went back to the car, came back, and this is what really got me. Well, I seen you got a clean record, and I go like this, what was he looking at? But he goes like this. He said, well, continue to listen to rock and roll, but slow down. And that was it.
Aww.
And I go, man, oh man. Well, she's not here. I hope she gets the tape. Anyway. I told her I was coming home, coming down toward McGregor Street, that's in Elmwood, right next to the railroad tracks down at the other end. And I was going down there, and I seen my good friend sitting there in the cruiser. He's a policeman. Mm-hmm. I seen him right there. Well, she was upstairs about ready to leave. I said, listen, my brother, my good friend Tim is sitting down at McGregor's stop sign. She goes, yeah. I said, when you roll through it, he's going to give you a ticket. Not if you roll through it. When you roll through it, you're going to get a ticket. Well, she came home that day. You ain't going to believe what happened to me. Like you rolled through that stop sign, he gave you a ticket. Yeah, how'd you know? Because I told you this morning before you left.
Wait a minute. She didn't take your advice and stop.
No. A lot of women, come on, just like men, a lot of things go over your head.
Yeah.
You hear them, but you don't listen.
Yeah.
I go like this. Well, it's only $45.
I'm not looking at anybody.
Like Margaret, I never, ever received a ticket. My whole time of driving. I was 17 when I got my license. No, well, I drove a year without them.
Wait a minute. You drove a year without license?
Yeah.
Okay, how many want a reporter?
Well,
I'm messing
with
you.
But I never got stopped either.
That's the only reason you're going to get a ticket.
Well, but
she was blessed.
It's not hard not to get a ticket if you just follow the rules. Follow the rules.
That's what I do. I people get mad at me when I'm driving up through there. I go 25 miles an hour.
Yes.
Up down through my street. They drive 35, 40. Some of them get really fly up through there. There's no kids plays on that street because everybody's got a backyard. There's no kids ever playing out in the street, and they've made that a throughway where it goes all the way up to Hamilton Mason and all that up that way. And it's a through street now, you know. And, you know, but somebody up there was an official or something in the government, and they had that put up there. Because one place at the end of the street, they got a thing that says deaf child or something, you know. And one time I was driving up through there, and I was only going 25 miles an hour, and this kid was out in the street, and they hollered at me and says, "Oh, you better slow down." Or something. I thought, what are you talking about? You know, because that was before they had that roundabout thing, you know. I was coming all the way up to a stop. I wasn't even driving fast, you know, I was driving slow. But it's a mecca. And actually, Lindsay Curtis's daughter, she does that 911 stuff, you know, where they call in. She told me, she says, oh, she says, that they targeted it down there. She said, they watch that like a hawk. She says, you don't want to drive fast out because you know where I live. I said, yeah. I said, I've got one ticket down there, and I only got it when we come back from that funeral, and I was only going about 32 miles an hour or something like that. And I didn't even have my foot on the gas. I mean, that's how slow I was going down the street. But it was slightly downhill. But I drive 25 mile an hour up through there. And Margaret even will remind me. She'll say, watch your speed, watch your speed. You know, because you never know when they're going to be hiding up there. And they hide up there pretty much, you know. And they give out tickets up there like candy, you know. I mean, they'll get you.
What do you mean hide?
They slide. They sit off on the side street. They get in places where you can't see them. Sure, roads like that too.
Not in California. They better not be hiding because you can.
No! They down Seward Road. They pull in them factories up there, and they get in positions to where you can't really see the car till you get up on it. They can see you, but you can't really see them if they're a police car. Well, I always pretty much, I drive the speed limit. Sometimes I'll drive 4 or 5 miles over the speed limit, but I don't go much more than that. And even out on the expressway, most of the time, I'll drive, if a speed limit is 65, I'll drive 70 sometimes, but I don't drive any faster than 70.
I wish I could say that.
Because they'll give you 5 miles an hour, you know. Now, I have times, Margaret's a real good driver, and sometimes if I get real tired, most of the time I drive off most of the time, but if I get real tired, then she'll drive. And if I lay back to go to sleep and I wake up and look over the speed limit, she's going about 80 or 85 or something like that. Yeah. It ain't because she didn't drive fast that she ain't ever got a ticket. She just got a rabbit's foot in her purse. No, she's a good driver.
You can complain and get the speed limit changed because on Water Street, where my aunt lives, she's the one that got that. She's not living now, but she's got that speed limit change. They used to fly down Water Street.
Man, so street.
And so they street. Changed it. I don't know what it was, but they put the 25 miles per hour, and they give you a ticket because I got one.
They'll never change that down there. They just won't. They make a ton of money.
25, they don't. They give a lot of tickets there.
They make a ton of money down there.
Speed limit signs are just a suggestion. You got to be out in the open. You
might be able to see the front of their car, but you can't. You know, they park on my street because actually
it's on an angle.
The one street goes down like this, and that's where it's targeted. My street goes off to the right. They pull down there and park on my street, looking up that way. You can just barely see the front of their car, you know, as you get down far enough down the street. But they can pick you up before you can even tell there's a car sitting there. And there's cars parked there all the time, so you can't tell if it's a police car or what it is. They do that. Down on Seward Road, there's one down there almost every day. They'll be over in that factory down close to where Port Union goes across, or they'll be over on the side of one of them other factories, and they get people a lot down through there, but people fly down through there. And I usually go 40 miles an hour down through there all the time. I don't go any faster than 40 miles an hour. And I think the speed limit's about 35 or 40. It's somewhere in there.
Most people warned you about coming, because between Hickory Grove, this is the speed on 68, and on down to the light there, straightway they fly. But when I was coming on Friday here, they were flashing their headlights on and off. They warn you.
Mm-hmm. Truckers do that.
They let you know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going with.
You know they can
anyway.
Give you a ticket if they see you do that.
But this guy,
if you flash your lights and once, they can give you a ticket for that. Yeah, yes, they can.
Well, this guy, the one that was coming toward me in the line of traffic. Was flashed his headlights on and off, and then even the next car. But I wasn't going with speed limit anyway, so I wasn't worried about it. Sure enough, down there was set the car, and it had very little marking on it. It was a black car, and he had the gun out, radar, but he was pointing it toward the south, where the cars are coming off of the freeway, like, you know, there, and coming on.
You know where the worst place in the world to get a ticket at? You'll get it almost every time. Georgia.
Oh yeah.
You'll be going 65 mile an hour, and it'll drop down to 55 mile an hour. No reason, no rhyme or reason. You'll drive a few miles, it'll be back up to 60 or 65. You know, and then they do that all the way down through Georgia, and they get you in Georgia. I mean, you know, they don't give you no break in Georgia.
Well, I'll only say this, of all my tickets, they've all been contentious. I had them all, except for one, before you.
I got stopped many times, you know, by the police. But I got five kids. You put five kids in a car, and they fight. Oh, God. So they'll stop me. And
they'll see the kids going on it.
And then the kids laugh because the police, oh, Mom, the police is coming, the police is coming. You know, and laugh and cut up and everything.
Kids.
And so he never gives me a ticket.
Yeah.
He looks at them kids, he's got sympathy. Empathy.
He says, you got enough on your mind with right. this, then you need a ticket. And I said, you're right there.
Yeah. Sorry we get off on this ticket.
I was going to say that.
We're back into the law again.
Yes. And I was right in the next couple of verses.
Well, here, let me say this real quick, just to show you about it. When we were in Scotland, we got a ticket, a parking ticket.
Uh-huh.
I didn't pay it. About 3 years later, I got another one. I got it in the mail. I still have the ticket.
After now and hearing this and what your wife is sharing.
What was that first scripture that we read?
Yeah.
Owe no man anything.
I was just going to say something that popped out at me into this about the law and about and it says this is in this a new version that I found, CSB. I forget what it is, but version. It says, do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law.
Yeah.
Now and then it says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment that you want to throw in there, are summed up by this commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
And you know what I liked about that? That it takes all of this nonsense and it takes it out of the realm of the law. And it puts it in the law of grace. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, and quite frankly, sometimes loving ourselves is a problem too.
Yeah.
You know, because just like Brenda said that one time, when she said, but I don't love this one, God said to her, but I do.
And you, yes.
I want you to love her.
Sure is. And he does it in you.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I think that is so great. Even if you get a ticket, you know? And knowing that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, right? And love is the fulfilling of the law. Knowing the time, that now it is high time. How much did your mother ever say to you, it's high time that you start learning, you know, this and that and this and that? She was saying, you know what? You're not a little kid anymore. It's high time for you to learn the things of being an adult, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the darkness is over and the daylight has come. Day stars have risen in our hearts.
Yes.
For now is our salvation nearer, the fulfillment of our salvation. We still have it, but the fulfillment of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I think this is great.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Got a little bit longer to go. I can read this, let me read 12 again. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask a question.
Yeah.
Why?
Why what?
Is it nearer than when we first, why? I think I have the answer for that, but I'm thinking that I believe we ought to all ask why. because that seed that was planted, it says he gives the increase. See, I actually believe we're the seed of his increase. And so if we have growth at all, it's because he's given us increase.
Amen.
Now, I believe we personally get increase from his presence.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a watering when you're dry. Mm-hmm. It's a refreshing. I mean, it's a light that I watch you guys when you go out of the house and you see how beautiful the day is. You know what you do? You smile. You go. It's like a promise that you go, oh man, it's not cloudy. People react a lot of times to what's within them. I think when you look at that, you go, oh, no doubt who made this, right? I mean,
yeah. People react to what's in us.
Right.
And I believe God, because of his presence in us, that when we come around people, that his presence ought to be seen, felt, you know, when we're around people, because they react. Somebody, we go in the store and you feel more like you're saying, looking around and smile. People react to that. Mm-hmm. Smile and people say, good morning, or say hi. This morning we say good morning when we come out of her apartment. He said, yeah. And I think they're surprised sometimes that you have actually acknowledged them. You don't know what people are going through. Well,
people react to light.
Okay. Yeah, and this is what, yeah.
So if you have darkness in you, people are not going to react to that.
But they're drawn to and react to the Christ. To the
sometimes
us.
People be surprised when we say good morning and all that, you know.
But it's,
okay.
But people want to be.
What do you say in the wintertime?
You still,
look at how
still
beautiful
there.
That snow looks.
Yes, yeah.
It's a beautiful day because it's a day that the Lord's made.
That's right.
Well, you know, when you said, Clyde, why, I think, doesn't your own being testify to you that how much you've changed? Are we not?
The Spirit of God recognizes that and witnesses that. That's what we ought to be looking at.
Yes.
And witnesses that, that without him, how lost I would be.
Oh, yes.
I mean, really, he wants to have broken vessels. Yeah. A lot of people don't like being broken.
The things that used to be important to me are not, and the things that didn't used to be important to me are. You know, mm-hmm. just the... there's a controller in my life, and he's not me, you know. And he
but your priorities
all
have changed.
Things. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just so peaceful to live in that knowledge, you know. Well, we were talking about that we wanted to read on, put on, it says here, put on Christ, but let's put on the whole armor of Christ. Did anybody look it up?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
It's Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, and I love this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
Amen.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Do 18 as well. You got it. Praying.
Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I like the 19. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me. You ever thought you didn't know how to pray? The utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yes. For which cause I am an ambassador. This just ain't Paul writing. Mm-hmm. This is us. We're reading it. That's us. Mm-hmm. An ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yes.
See, it's not about our flesh and about us. Who do they think we are? Mm-hmm. In the Holy Spirit, we're God's word.
Are, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, calling those things that aren't, not so they are. You have to speak to. You have to speak to the storm. And I'll tell you what, and don't say storm go away, just speak peace. And do you know that when he was on the boat, he spoke peace to the storm and it ceased? But you do realize he was the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. He was the creator of that peace. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Well, he created the storm.
Created the storm.
Say that. Hallelujah, because he knows what we need. Yeah.
And he still does.
But I don't think anybody believes that chapter, or that through a few verses that you read, until you are a sinner and you didn't read it, but you, inside you, you became it, and you could do what it says you can do, because I had a face that I lost a lot of friends because I went from one thing to another, and they said, wait a minute, what do you mean this is, you're gonna do this? I said, well, I got church. I can't go today. I'm going to church. Mm-hmm. You're what?
Choose it.
You know, and, but then you can hold your head up and you say, I am going to church. Are you? No. I said, well, I am.
You know what? I have to tell you this, that the only church you're going to is the one that dwells within you. And you're going together so the one that dwells within you can be a many-member body in harmony. I've got to do that. And know that your strength lies with the members. Mm-hmm. You know what? We are strength one to another.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have to be told that. The word confers that.
Yeah.
I mean, that we are to be strengthened one to another, to encourage one another.
Well, you are.
But the whole thing is, I don't have to have anybody say that to me, because God dwells within me and his word don't return void, because he knows what he's doing.
Well, I didn't know anything back then.
Out of the word that I mean, just spoke,
I didn't.
That was very good words, what you said, really, because you said you were talking about Christ in you is what you were really saying.
Right.
That's growth.
That was good.
Yes.
That was good. Yeah.
Wonderful. Very good.
Yeah, you're not the person that walked in here. You're not the person that used to walk in.
Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus dwells within you. And he's changing you from glory to glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
But he still won't talk to me.
Oh, he talks
to you. Oh, talks to you all the time.
How do you think you knew what you just said?
You couldn't testify to what you just said if he didn't talk to you.
Yes. Well, I don't hear him. Doesn't talk to me like he does my son, or you. All you say is, "Oh, he talked to me today. He said this." And,
well, sometimes that's.
And I'm waiting.
Yeah,
that's a church thing. It's a way of.
He's been, or you would be able to share that.
A child.
Very, very, very seldom does anybody ever have a situation with the Lord where they hear an audible voice. It's usually a still, small voice.
Yeah.
It's something that speaks down inside of you, and it's a sense that you know that God spoke to you.
That's right. Everything is
And it's really from within, it comes from within to without. Now there could be a time when God might manifest an angel or himself or whatever in front of you and speak to you directly. That could happen.
If that ever happens.
That doesn't happen. That happens very, very seldom. You know, very
it's going to happen to me.
A still small voice.
One of these days.
Can I say
one of these days.
I might be wrong, but when you dream, you hear people talking to you in a dream, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking that God does. Now, if you dream, you hear. If you dream, if you have dreams, right? And you hear people talking to you in your dreams, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm thinking that that's the way of God.
God gave me a vision
years ago one time, and I was in praising the Lord, and I basically had told the Lord, "Lord, let me get lost in your praises," and I did, and I'm telling you, it was just a tremendous experience. But I mean, the glory of God was so strong and everything, and it was like that the Lord spoke to my inner being. I didn't hear actual words, but it was like I just knew that he was speaking to me, and what he said was, he said, "Rise and kill the fox." And I thought, what does that mean? You know, I didn't know what that meant, you know. And I questioned the Lord about that for a few days or whatever. So I come to church, and Brother Eddie preaches a sermon about the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Yeah, right.
And it's always the little things that get you. It's not the big things. It's the little things that get you. In other words, the little fox that spoils the vine, the little thing that eats around at the base of the vine. You know that the scripture says, Jesus said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." So anything that has a tendency to want to separate you from him, even the little things. See, and it's usually not the big things, it's the little things. And there's a scripture that tells us not to despise the day of small things. You know, in other words, small things are very important. If you feel led to do something that the Lord is wanting you to do it, and you're disobedient to that, and you don't do it, and it's a little thing, then if you felt led to get on a bus and go to Washington and go up to some senator or something and give them a word from the Lord, you think you're going to do it? Not if you can't do that little thing that you had to do. That God spoke to your heart about. And see, that's the thing. You know, you grow by doing the small things in God first. You know, it's like if the Lord, you know, if you're out shopping or something and you just see somebody and they look like they really have problems that day or something, and the Lord kind of inspires you to discover and say, "How you doing today?" or pat them on the back or something, or to tell somebody that you're praying for them or whatever.
If you
can't do that stuff when God inspires you to do it, mm-hmm. you're not going to do the big stuff. Because, you know, if you can't do the little things first, you're not going to do the big stuff. So, and a lot of people are standing back waiting to do the big stuff, you know, and not realizing that the little stuff is the big stuff.
Yes, it is the big stuff. You know, because I feel lately, the older I get, I feel, I've even said this to a lot of people, my world has become a lot smaller because I don't work anymore and I don't get any about and so, but I love my life because I get, you know, when I feel something, when I do see someone, or it's somebody at the store or somebody else, and you feel more comfortable because you're around people that seem to be like you, like you're out during the day like retired people are. You know, because everybody else is at work or mothers or with children or, you know, all that stuff. And you just feel a camaraderie with almost everybody that you see, you know.
Well, the thing is, like you said, you tell people you're praying for them and stuff like that. That's what God's inspiring that. You ain't just popping that off the top of your head. Mm-hmm. That's God speaking to your heart.
Well, there's a girl at Seniors. Mm-hmm. She's got it's when that Debbie's got it. She got her feeling in her feet and her hands and I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll pray for you today." Mm-hmm. And I didn't think anything more of it. I just told her I'd pray for her.
That's all you have to say.
Huh?
That's all you have to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times that prayer might just be where you just say, Lord, bless that person, minister to them in some special way, whatever their need is. You don't always even have to know what their need is. It just it can be just a little simple prayer, and that's all it is.
We're late for church.
Yeah, we need
to. I thought you were going to say something.
Did you hear something else to
Cheryl,
say?
No. I want to tell you how you blessed me. That cup that you felt to buy and give to me, it says strength on it. I drink out of it every day. And then on the back it says, God is our refuge and strength. And I look at it, I think of you, and I thought, every day, because I drink out that cup every day, and I think, what a blessing that you are, and what a blessing it is, because he is your strength. Because you never know what people are going through, and every day I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I take care of this one lady, and my family depends upon me a lot, buddy. He was saying, all your... Yeah,
well,
my family.
Well, it's not me.
No, because it
it's
was God.
You all.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Well, it's the Christ in us.
Yes.
And it's the Christ in you, recognizing each
other. And that's what I want to just tell you what a blessing. And I know God put on your heart.
Yeah.
You said it was to give this cup, and this cup that you gave to me is what every day, this strength I look at. And I look and see that. In his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I think about you. I can't help but think about you, because every day I drink coffee out of that cup.
My joy comes from him, because he calls me sunshine every day.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Well, I'll share him with you anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you.
Nice class today, guys.
Yes.
And I'm going to drive slow.